Bustric is one of the most important and powerful pranayamas. In addition to its health benefits, which essentially are an overall increase in vitality, improving whatever it is that ails you, it also has very potent effects for meditation, for preparation for meditation, and develops the meditative mind. And for that reason, it's particularly treasured in our tradition. It is an advanced pranayama. It requires a very steady sitting posture and an inner focus. An inner focus meaning awareness, capacity to hold the mind in an internal state of stillness, and a nuanced and subtle control over the abdominal wall and the diaphragm. These are skills that are best developed with asana practice, so this advanced pranayama is one that's most available to those who've been practicing hatha yoga and asana practice. Those skills include the sitting posture, but also diaphragmatic breathing, good yogic breathing, control over the abdominal wall, as we mentioned, and an inner focus. So some skill in some of the other pranayamas, Nadi Shodhanam and Kapalabhati, for example, are usually required before we work with this practice. Its subtle benefits include, according to the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which is the most comprehensive of the pre-modern texts on Hatha Yoga, its subtle benefits are that the three gruntis, or the knots, that keep us out of samadhi, basically, are destroyed by this pranayama. So what that means for us, essentially in practical terms, is it develops a inner contentment that allows the mind to disengage with its usual preoccupations through the senses and the thinking process. So in the terms of yoga, it awakens shishumna. It applies that inner state of concentration where our attention or our facility and inclination to oscillate between one extreme and the other, between being active and being passive and so on, is attenuated, and this third state opens up. So it's very powerful on the level of more subtle asana practice or more subtle hatha practice. The contraindications for this practice are any kind of cardiovascular illness or disease or inclination towards high blood pressure, obstructions in breathing or the lungs, any problems with the lungs, hernias, and any condition where additional pressure in the head is contraindicated. So there needs to be basically a fairly healthy situation internally in order to practice this practice. In the next two modules, we'll look at the technique and then at a short sequence of asana practice that prepares for the practice itself. To begin the practice of Bustrika, we need the sitting posture, absolutely steady. And for that, traditionally, Padmasana is required. That seems an onerous requirement for many of us in the modern world. So what we do is provide stability in yet another way. So you can see when you're sitting just cross-legged, there's a little bit of too much effort in here. It's not all that stable, because you're having to make an effort to sit up against the legs not being locked into place. So we take care of that problem by giving ourselves enough prop to allow the knees and the legs, the weight of the legs, to fall away from the pelvis. So you can see her thighs can soften and relax. And there's a completely stable and vertical alignment through the core of the body. So from the pelvic floor to the crown of the head, very well connected. That integration pranically and physically through the body is really essential to getting the benefits for Bustrika. And this is one of the reasons why an asana practice is so important, because it's unlikely that any of us has this kind of alignment unless we have actually been working with both awareness and the muscle strength it takes and flexibility that it takes to sit comfortably in this way. So With a steady sitting posture, you can fold the legs in any way that is appropriate. She's sitting in Sukhasana, easy pose. I'm sitting in Svastikasana. You can also sit on a chair as long as you have that sense of being very steady and upright through the core of the body. So that's the first requirement. And secondly, we talked about an inner focus, which you won't be able to see on her except the results of it, which will be a very profound steadiness when we actually do the practice. So to begin, we will start by just activating a bit through the abdominal wall because it's one of the other important skills. So we'll start with a deep exhale and then a slow inhale, just pressing the abdominal wall in on the exhale and out on the inhale. So when you fill, the abdominal wall is going to move out. And of course, it's moved by the abdominal muscles working in connection with the diaphragm. So you can bring your hands to your belly. And then even one hand a little bit lower than the navel and the other right over it. And on the exhale, the whole abdominal wall is going to hollow out. And then inhale, it presses out. Exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. And then take a couple of resting breaths. The word bhastrika means bellows, and it's like the old-fashioned bellows that are used to flame a fire, to blow air onto a fire. So in that way, we will pick this speed up as you move along, but just to get the idea in the body on how the process is working means we need to go a little bit slow as we start. Now, we're going to try it one more time. This time, I want you to notice on the exhale and the inhale how the chest, the jaw, the eyes, the face, the shoulders, and the throat are completely stable and quiet. They don't move. So the movement is actually very much localized in the lower belly and the abdominal wall. So again, now the chest stays really, really quiet and stay slow so that you can actually control the process. There's a very strong sense of being deeply relaxed as you're working with this little bit of a strong contraction. And that's one of the skills we need to develop, is to be able to strongly contract and eventually to move pretty fast with that, but not to get tense anywhere and not to push up into the chest and not to get rigid or stimulate the nervous system. Essentially, we're asking the nervous system to quiet down. So we'll begin by taking a deep inhale, and then exhale, inhale, more sharp, exhale, inhale, 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 and relax. So to do a beginning practice, we would start with perhaps 11 breaths, maybe at that rate, in order to start to get the smoothness of the rhythm and also the control that's needed to isolate the work of the diaphragm and the abdominal wall and still stay very stable through the rest of the body. So inner focus, familiarity with the mechanics of the practice. Going slowly. It's very important that the inhale and exhale be equally forceful and equal in time and rhythm. Otherwise, we end up stressing the nervous system in one direction or another, hyperventilating or becoming overstimulated. So we need to make sure that you stay very rhythmic and very relaxed as we work with the practice. We'll do one more time with a little practice, and this time I bring the arms overhead, and you can bring the hands to the shoulders or even to the opposite shoulders. This tends to help you stabilize the chest, the throat, the eyes, and so on, so that you really do localize your breathing down in the navel center area. Again, inhaling through both nostrils, and exhale. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. Inhale and relax. It's important to stay really stable in your sitting posture, so you might think about dropping your sit bones into your seat and lengthening through the back so you don't lean forward or get a tilt in the pelvis that makes it hard to keep a really relaxed sitting posture. So it's a fine line between the engagement you need, one, to stay stable and upright and keep the practice moving, and the other, to have a very deeply relaxed and ease in the practice. And that comes with practice. One more thing, there should be the sound. There'll be a little more sound in the nose because the breath is moving out and in forcefully, but there shouldn't be any sound in the throat or any restriction in the respiratory system. So you want to be really relaxed through the respiratory system. The signs that none of the above have happened, in other words, signs of incorrect technique or maybe just too much, because this is a practice that over time will strengthen your nervous system. But if you've done too much, you may feel dizzy or lightheaded, headaches, pressure in the eyes, tingling in the mouth, the lips or the fingers, the face. And all of these are signs that your technique was either off or you've done too much, so you want to back off. Remember, we're trying to draw the mind inward, away from its physical awareness. So if these signs start to show up, that then there's the practice has gone off the rails somehow. So you want to watch for those. Feel great when you're done and while you're doing it. A practice now, what you might want to do to develop your skill with this is for a couple of weeks work a little bit slowly perfecting your sitting posture and the techniques themselves in terms of getting the rhythm and the speed. So you'll work a little bit slowly and then you gradually begin to pick up speed. And you can do a couple of rounds, 11 breaths each with resting in between. And as you begin to pick up speed, you may find that you'll do more and just until you're tired or lose the rhythm, however much feels appropriate for you. So gradually you begin to pick up speed and get a little faster, and then it becomes a little less labored in terms of vigorousness as you pick up speed. So eventually you may end up with something that looks a bit like this. And even eventually a little bit faster, but it will take some time to get up to that speed. You do want to feel as if you could maintain the rhythm and the pace all day. You should feel that easy and that sustainable. So in our next segment, we'll look at a short sequence of asana followed by the practice of Bhastrika. We'll begin in Shavasana on the floor with your knees up. Feet on the floor, knees up, and then interlace your hands and bring them over the top of the head and turn the palms of the hands away from the top of the head. And then broaden across the back of the body, just soften enough to feel the back body broadening and softening into the floor even as it begins to lengthen, the spine begins to lengthen. And when you're ready, we'll press the feet into the floor, and with an inhale, as the feet press down, reach out through the arms at the same time. So you're going to lengthen in both directions, feet down, and inhale and press up through the palms of the hands. And then also try to keep the back ribs dropping into the mat and broadening. So you'd like to feel the rib cage kind of moving down and broadening even as you stretch up and lengthen. On the exhale, soften. And we'll do this a couple more times. Inhale, feet into the floor, lengthen. So you feel the connection between the feet and the hands, the whole spine lengthening as a result, and yes, broad on the back body. Softening on the exhale, inhale, lengthening. Keep the feet active and the legs kind of engaged, so don't let your knees splay out. You want to stay really collected. And one more time. Feet down, reaching up through the palms of the hands. And on the exhale, softening. And then roll over onto your abdomen. for the crocodile pose. This is a perfect place to practice the diaphragmatic breathing. You bring the hands to the opposite elbows and draw the elbows in slightly so that your chest is lifted just enough that when you inhale, the first thing you feel is the solar plexus pressing into the floor. Feet mat width apart, toes out. Forehead resting on the forearms. Let your attention turn to breathing and softening the whole body. So the inhalation begins to flow smoothly into the exhalation, and the exhalation flows smoothly into the inhalation. Your breath begins to slow down and becomes more subtle. This interstate of attention and ease and stability in your respiratory pattern is something you'd like to continue moving towards as we move through the sequence of postures. Now let's sit back in child's pose. Sitting back on the heels, softening the lower back and breathing into the back. And then come forward, so you're lying face down. Bring the hands alongside the ribs with the elbows up for Bhujangasana, the cobra pose. Draw the outer hips in so the legs are slightly active, pressing the feet and the pelvis into the floor. Draw the shoulder blades down and inhale, lifting the chest and bringing the head with the spine. Stay long in the back of the neck so you feel a connection from the legs to the pelvis and from the pelvis, particularly the lower pelvis, all the way up the front of the body through the crown of the head. And then holding and breathing, and just notice how your breath now becomes more localized in the ribs. Allow their opening to happen right here at the level of the diaphragm so that your breath is opened and free. Come down on an exhale, and let's sit back in child's pose one more time. Feel free to take a downward dog here if you would rather, but child's pose a little less demanding. And then step the right foot forward for a lunge on this side. And lengthen across the left thigh, inner belly. Move the spine towards the front of the body. The shoulder blades move down and breathe down into the pelvis, down into the legs. So getting a nice long opening across from the leg all the way up the front of the spine into the throat and the crown of the head. And then you can step back to child's pose or downward dog, whatever you would like here, and step the other side forward. Taking this on the right side now. It's perfectly fine to lower the knee to the mat if that makes it a little easier for you. You want to feel a lengthening and engagement across the whole side of the body and up the front of the spine. But sometimes it's a little intense to have the knee up, so your choice of whether it's up or down. And then once again, stepping back. Again, child's pose or downward dog, whichever you like. But after a couple of resting breaths there, we're going to step the hands forward. Are the your back hands, your feet forward behind your hands. Take as many steps as you need to bring the feet to the floor in behind the hands. Your hands on the floor, out in front. Bend the knees if you need to keep the hands grounded. Your weight right over the arches of the feet. Good, keeping the weight over the arches of the feet and engage in the lower belly, kind of lifting the sit bones, pressing down through the feet. And then bend the knees. Open the arms out to the side and unfold from the hips as you lift the arms up alongside the head. Keep the knees bent all the way up. And then drop your weight down and stretch up as you drop the weight. So both things happening. There's a lift up the front of the spine and the weight of the body is dropping. Find your easy, smooth breath inside of that. And then as you like, open the arms out to the side as you straighten the knees. And then we'll turn to facing the long edge of the mat, separate the feet at least shoulder width apart, if not a little bit more. And inhale, lifting the right left arm, stretch way out and lift up overhead. Separate your feet a little bit more. There you go. And stretch to the side, letting your Right hand support you as it slides down the leg. Breathe through the side body, all into the ribs and this big right between the ribs and the hip. Big breath there, just opening up and also up through the arm. Come up on an inhale. Exhale the arm down and other side. Inhaling, lifting the arm. Keep the right leg grounded as you stretch towards the left. And breathe again into the side waist, into the shoulder girdle, reaching out through the fingertips and feeling the outer edge of the heel grounding. And then come up on an inhale, float the arm down. And now we'll step the feet apart a little bit more. Good, and now folding forward, slide your hands down the legs as you fold forward from the hips. Good. Bend the knees if you need to. Dipali has plenty of flexibility, so she can keep her legs straight, but if you need to bend the knees, then soften them enough that you can bring your hands to the floor in front of you. Be on your fingertips rather than on the palms of the hands, so you really keep the elbows bent, so you come forward as far as you can, but just not collapsing into the hands, so you really stay lifted in the lower belly, but draw yourself forward or under between the thighs, really drawing under. Good, and again, being a little bit soft in the knees if you need to make a bit of ease here. And then on an exhale, contract the abdominal wall and just draw the lower abdominal wall over towards the right. So it's a strong contraction, and then on the inhale, come back through the center. On the exhale, strong contraction. You just pick up the abdominal muscles and draw them over, and that will draw the whole belly and the ribs and so on over towards one side or the other. We'll do that just a few times, so you start to get a sense of using the abdominal wall and the whole four layers of muscles in the abdomen are engaged. Good. And then when we're ready, back to center, lifting the sit bones one more time, draw yourself a little bit deeper into the forward bend. And as you're ready to come out, bring your hands to your waist, bend the knees. Bend the knees. And then come up with a straight spine all the way up and straighten the legs and step your feet together. Now, we'll take one more Utkatasana just to collect ourselves in the center of things. So you're going to bend the knees, drop your weight down as you open the arms out to the side and up alongside the head. And pressing the feet down, reaching up through the fingers. Lower belly moves in, just feel that collection right through the core of the body. And then as you like, straightening the legs, opening the arms out and down. Step your feet apart. Enough for Agnisara. This is an important work for the abdominal wall. So you're going to bend the knees, rest your hands on the thighs. And on the exhale, the feet activate, inner thighs activate, hips, outer hips contract. The pelvic floor lifts, the lower belly moves in. All of this happens on the exhale. It takes a lot longer to say it than to do it. So exhale, the whole abdominal wall moves in towards the spine and slightly up, and then it releases down in a very controlled and smooth way on the inhale. So exhale, pelvic floor, sides of the pelvis, front of the pelvis, back of the pelvis, everything pulling together and up, and on the inhale, smoothly releasing all the way down and out. Very important to get the relaxing part in a very controlled way, in the same way that the exhale with its contraction is important. The inhale and its releasing is just as important. That coordinating with breathing and also being able to smoothly and effortlessly control in both directions, very important. So a few of these, which is very essential skill in all of our pranayama practices, so a technique that you may want to pay a bit more attention to in other aspects of your practice. Good, and when you're ready, we'll come up. I'm going to take a transition to the floor by coming back to Utkatasana. Let's face the short edge of the mat, bend the knees, open the arms out up and to the side. And then keep the knees bent, but fold forward and bring the hands all the way down to the floor. Keep the knees bent all the way down. Let's try that one more time. So keep the knees bent, open the arms out to the side, and bend forward from the crease of the hips. When the fingertips touch the floor, then you begin to straighten the legs. Keep the relax the back of the neck. and step back one foot and then the other into downward dog. And then lower the knees to the mat. And sit back on your heels. And bring the fingertips all the way back behind you, fingertips on the floor. Move the inner thighs in and lift the pelvis, drawing the shoulder blades down. Press the pelvis and the thighs up. Keep your head looking straight ahead. So there's a long spine, but a big opening across the thighs. And then sit down on the heels and bring your hands forward onto the floor. So you'll come into child's pose with your arms out in front. Good, and when you're ready, we'll slip the right knee forward for Kapotasana or the pigeon pose. So this is another opening, big opening for the across the top of the thigh and also for the outer edge of the hip. So this is a posture that helps with our sitting poses with the pelvis alignment and also with that stability in the pelvis that we need for sitting while we're breathing effortlessly and freely. So you feel the lower body, upper body connection here. You feel the breath working in the interior of the body and the mind really focused on the core of the body. The further back you walk your hands, the more you may feel that uplift through the front of the spine. So this becomes a controlled backward bend. And if you are unable to be as upright as Dipali is, you may be resting on your forearms because of the need to open in the outer hip or the groin, and that's perfectly fine. You want it to show that Dipali is. So you may be more in this position. Come up about halfway with your arms here on your forearms, a little higher coming up in the body. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you may be somewhere more in this position, which is perfectly fine. Remember, we don't want to push or strain in the body. We're working to create an inner sense of ease and spaciousness, so, and also to keep the nervous system from going into its stressed out mode. So you want to work gently with yourself. When you're ready, we'll transition to the other side. You can come onto your hands and knees. You can come into downward facing dog. You can come back to child's pose. But from one of those three positions, we'll step the left foot forward and work on that side. Notice how lifted she is through the lower back and through the upper spine. The shoulder blades move together and down, and the collarbones are very broad. So wherever you are and whatever version of the pose you're in, you would like to work in that direction through the upper body so that the head can rise easily right through the center of the energy field from the pelvic floor up through the crown of the head. And then the jaw softens, the eyes soften. You can feel the breath moving without any extra effort or tension in the upper body, and that's one of the skills we need for pranayama practice. You'd like to keep the back of the pelvis and as level as possible or turned as symmetrical as possible. So usually it means, in this case, it would be the right hip. You draw forward and lifting up out of the left hip so you don't collapse down into the left joint. When you're ready, we'll come back to child's pose or hands and knees or whatever position you would like. And then come back up to sitting. We'll work with a twist now by bringing the feet about mat width apart, knees bent. So you want to separate your knees a pretty good distance so that when we twist, and we're going to twist to the right first, just drop the knees to the right and turn all the way around, bringing the left hand with you so that your hands are on the floor behind you. Sitting up as tall as you can and breathing up and down the length of the spine. So particularly focus, again, right in the center part of the body. This is a twist that really helps to open up the breath in the core of the body. And come back around on an inhale. Bring your feet right where they are, not moving them, but just lifting your knees. Drop your knees to the other side. Think about lifting up as well as turning, and feel the turn right here in the gut. Breathing down into the resistance you feel. And then come back around on the inhale. And we'll sit with both feet on the floor for a hip balance. So the knees are up, feet are on the floor. And again, just holding the backs of your legs, as Dipali is now, and sitting up tall is the beginning part of this, and it might be what you can manage at the moment. So the difference between how she's sitting and how we might normally sit, if you want to just collapse a little bit, yes, okay, so this is not it. It's sitting up really tall. You want to lift through the spine. Good. Now, you can intensify this by lifting one foot and then the other off the floor. And you will move back a bit, but keep that length in the spine, which you can see she's doing. And then the trick is to breathe very easily here. So you want to keep that relaxed breathing. Now the options are to lengthen the arms out alongside so you're not holding, or to hold the legs again and straighten the legs. So if you have good hamstring flexibility, you may be able to straighten the legs. Otherwise, you may need to keep the knees bent. And this depends a little on your proportions, too. So everyone's a little bit different where their center gravity is, and that makes a difference as well. Good. But that lifting up through both the front and the back is part of what we need to cultivate for sitting properly. So this is a really good exercise for that because it teaches us to breathe while those muscles are strongly engaged. When you're ready, you'll lower the feet and open the knees out to the side for Baddha Konasana. And you can fold forward. Your feet can be out further in front if you're a little tight here, or if your hip joint is such that you have more space to come forward with them out, or you can bring them all the way into the into the pelvis. Either way, not pushing here, but just really softening and letting the inner thigh soften as well. And then bring your attention to your breath and your lower ribs. And coming up as you like, and let's swing the legs around behind us so you'll be laying face down. Keep me on your chin or your forehead, and on an exhale, I'm going to bring the hips together and the feet together so there's an activation in the legs. And then on the next inhale, lift the legs. And then lift the chest and arms, and the head comes along as well. Keep breathing. The whole back of the body is engaged here, so this is a strengthening for those important muscles on the backside. Keep your breath easy and full. And when you come down, you can turn your head to the side and take a relaxing breath. And then sit back in child's pose. Staying present with breathing. And when you're ready, we'll come up and roll over onto your back for the bridge pose. Knees are up, feet on the floor, arms alongside, and pressing down through the arms, lifting the pelvis, rolling up the spine. You can bring the hands under the body or alongside, but keep pressing the feet into the floor and keep the knees moving towards each other so the inner thighs stay engaged rather than allowing the knees to flop out to the side. And lifting in the thoracic spine as well. So the arms press actively down into the floor. And then feel the connection from the pelvis to the navel, to the heart, to the throat. And as you like, you can roll down. And then draw the legs up over the body and move just a little bit side to side to release any tension in the lower back. Whatever might be left for you, whatever your body feels it needs at this point, whether it's a twist or a rocking chair or any of the other poses that you might use to establish a balance in your body again. And then we'll find our way to Shavasana. So in Shavasana, you would like your arms and legs to be symmetrically arranged from the center line of the body. So your feet are about mat width apart, and your arms are 4 to 6 inches away from the side of the body with the palms turning up. And that will bring your shoulder blades under you to cradle the heart and allow the back of the chest to broaden and settle down into the floor. Let the whole back of the body spread, soften. And allow the front of the body to be supported by the back body, supported by the floor. Close the eyes, soften the face. And as the body begins to settle and relax, stay focused on the body, stay focused on the breath. So the mind begins to soften and relax as well. The mind becomes full of the stillness in the body. If you bring your attention to your breath, you may notice that there are little places where the body is tense or holding the breath in some way. See if you can soften those. Could be the face or the jaw or the eyes, lower belly. It could be around the diaphragm itself. Allowing the body to soften around the breath so your breath begins to slow down. And then bring your attention to your face and soften the eyes, the brow, the mouth. Let your attention drop away from the face a little bit deeper into the head. And be aware of the base of the skull. And soften the tongue, the root of the tongue. And down the front of the throat, softening the jaws. And then across the tops of the shoulders and into the shoulder joints. And down through the upper arms, the elbows, the forearms, the wrists, and into the hands. Be aware of the joints in the fingers and the fingertips. Let the fingertips be sensitive, and then be aware of breathing. And draw your attention from the fingertips back through the hands and up the length of the arms. And back to the base of the skull, the base of the neck, and then down into the center of the chest. And soften the back of the ribs. And soften the lungs and the heart. And rest your attention in the center of the chest. And be aware of breathing. And then draw your awareness a little lower to the solar plexus. Soften the back of the waist. Soften around, breathing. And draw your attention down into the pelvis. Soften the organs of the pelvis, the sacrum, the lower belly, the buttocks, the hips. And then soften the thighs down into the knees, through the shins and calves and ankles into the feet. Bring your awareness through the roots of the toes, the joints of the toes, into the toe tips. Be aware of the breath with your attention in the toe tips. And then draw your attention back through the feet, through the ankles and up the length of the legs to the knees, and through the thighs into the hip joints, collecting your awareness in the pelvis. And bring your attention from the pelvis up through the navel center, the solar plexus, into the center of the chest. Be aware of the shoulder blades, collarbones, and the arms. And bring your attention to the base of the neck and the hollow of the throat. And then up through the neck into the center of the head, softening the jaw, the face, the eyes. Resting your attention in the center of the forehead and being aware of the breath in the body. Being aware of the whole body from the inside. Being aware of the body breathing. Smoothing out the inhale and exhale. So there are no pauses. Allowing your breath to slow down. And when you're ready, you'll take a slightly deeper breath and bring yourself back into movement by moving the fingers and toes gently. And then drawing the knees up and rolling to one side, taking a breath or two on your side. And then coming all the way up to sitting. For pranayama, take whatever prop you need. And we'll begin with just calling attention to the movement of the breath to a diaphragmatic breathing. So it takes a few breaths to become at ease and equilibrium with the change in posture. So closing your eyes and paying attention to the breath and the body, and just take your awareness down through the body. So you allow your sit bones to drop down into your seat. and the back of the body to lengthen. See me think about breathing down the back side of the body, drawing the lower belly in. And let the inner thighs soften. And the shoulders to relax, carrying the head right over the spine. So you have some sense of the inner alignment of your sitting posture and can allow the breath to support your sitting. And then you look at your breath itself, softening between the inhale and exhale, and allowing the inhale and exhale to expand, both of them to expand into whatever space might have crept in between them. So there's a tendency to kind of hold the breath on either one end or the other of the inhale and exhale. So see if you can lengthen from both directions, the inhale and exhale, both get a little bit longer. So there's one smooth cycle of breathing. And that will bring the nervous system into balance. And then we'll begin our practice of pranayama today with Kapalabhati, which is a strong exhale and will help to activate through the navel center. The inhale is very relaxed, it's passive. The inhale comes on the rebound. So this is an asymmetrical breath, not a Bhastrika kind of breath. And we'll do just one round of that. So as you're ready, you'll take a slightly deeper inhalation through both nostrils. And then strong exhale. Exhale, relax. Exhale, relax. Exhale, relax. Exhale, relax. Exhale, relax. Exhale, relax. Exhale, exhale. Exhale, exhale. And exhale. And then relaxed breath. And the other preparatory pranayama we'll do is Nadi Shodhana. So you'll need your mudra, the index and middle finger are folded into the palm of the hand. And you'll use the thumb to close your right nostril. The ring finger will close the left when we need it. But let's start now by inhaling through both nostrils, closing the right, and exhale through the left nostril, slowly and gently, drawing the breath out silently. Then close the left and inhale through the right, inhaling the same length of time on the right as the exhale on the left. Close right, exhale left. Slowly and silently. Close left, inhale right. And close right, exhale left. Close left, inhale right. And then we'll take three resting breaths through both nostrils. And for the last half of this practice, inhale through both nostrils. Deep breath, and close the left nostril, and exhale through the right. Close the right, inhale left. Close left, exhale right. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale left. And then release. Exhaling gently through both nostrils. Three resting breaths. And now we'll begin the practice of Bhastrika. So starting with an inhalation through both nostrils, a little bit of a deeper inhalation, and then begin at a speed that works for you. So that may not be as rapid as some, so you will find your right pace. Continuing to refine your inner focus and the ease and speed of your exhalation, inhalation, and the inner stability that comes both in the body and the mind. So you'll begin to collect your awareness at the eyebrow center after the rapid movement at the navel center begins to be automatic and easy. Continue only as long as you can maintain the rhythm and the ease. And notice that as you pick up speed, the breath becomes a little more subtle, so it's not quite as huffy-puffy as it is when you're going slow. So when you pick up speed, it's a little bit of a lighter feeling, but it will feel very sustainable, as if you could continue without any effort for a long period of time. Notice if you start to feel tired, lose the rhythm, out of sorts, or spacey, and in that case you'll want to stop. And finally, one last strong exhale, and then relax. Let your breath return to its normal pace, and notice that might be very slow and subtle now. Keep your mind focused, eyebrow center, or on the whole inner space of the body. And allow the breath to arise spontaneously in the body. From here, you may continue to sit in whatever meditation practice you normally use, or you may finish your practice. Namaste.